that we purchased this. It's just distance. As I said before, ESAB discussed this in the March meeting, supported acquisition of a Quint apparatus. And we're not talking about adding any additional staff. What we have can operate this vehicle very well. No new staff. This vehicle is about 6 inches taller than our current engine, believe it or not. Every place that our engine can go, this can go. The tree canopy is the same impact as it is now. We're not going to be cutting any trees down. It's something that we do deal with. Public Works is very good about keeping the tree canopy trimmed down, not just for us, but for us, but for all the delivery vehicles in town that come through here. It's about 3 feet longer, and we have had an identical vehicle, dimension-wise, in town, and we've test-driven it. We've taken it to all the places that we know are difficult to get to make sure we can get there, to make sure we can maneuver it. So that's been done. No problems. The concern came up that is this truck going to be going out of town like our ambulance does? The short answer is no. Because of our distance from the closest aerial, we're also that far away from everybody else. And the Shores will use Daytona, Port Orange will use Port Orange. We really are going to be relegated to our little peninsula here. And if we do go out of town, it's probably going to be to serve as an engine, which is what we typically do now. So I don't anticipate any more responses out of town as a result of this being an aerial. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be that much of a burden at all. I really don't. We're also proposing to place the current engine into reserve. And I know there's been some discussion on selling it and taking that revenue. But the challenge that we have, we've been very fortunate over the years to have neighbors with reserve trucks that they've been able to loan us. That is not the case anymore. Their fleets are aging. Their reserves are being surplused and decommissioned. In fact, we had not too long ago, we were using Edgewater's truck. Their truck broke down. They came and took it from us. We had no fire truck. So having this vehicle available to us is invaluable. Also, if I want to put a second engine in service, I can do that. And that's happened. I wanted to do that during storm events, to have a second engine here in town. So when help can't get to us because of weather conditions, I have staff and equipment here ready to go. So, and ESAB also recommended keeping this as a reserve piece. Placing this in a reserve status will dramatically reduce the wear and tear on it and the maintenance requirements. There will be some routine maintenance, but it will be significantly less than it is now. Just to give you an idea of, you know, some of the research that we did, we actually looked at what the composition of the different vehicles in town, or the vehicles, buildings in town were, as far as different types, sizes, and stories. And as you can see here, anything that's over about 2.5 stories right now, we have difficult accessing with our current ground ladders. So that's kind of our benchmark as far as using a ladder. We have about over 100 different structures in town that are 2.5 stories and above, and 1,800 units that are either in townhomes or condos, which this would be very, very useful in gaining access to. And the average age of the building is 30 years, so they're getting a little bit older. That's not terrible, but you know they're starting to age. And these are some examples of some of the buildings that we would definitely be using this apparatus at. Did you lose your screen again? Randy, sorry. The pictures of the towers, one of the townhomes, and some of the homes on A1A. So back to the purchase plans. I just want to recap again where we came from and where we are. We originally were anticipating doing a down payment and a 3-year build. The challenge with that is there's built-in escalation costs, the vendors tell us that, and EPA emissions requirements that come out almost every year. The vendors don't tell you how much that's going to cost because they don't know. And you don't know that until you pay for the vehicle at the end of the day. They will not lock in a price based on that. And that impact alone can be tens of thousands of dollars more over the price of the vehicle. So the vehicle that is available to us today meets or exceeds all the requirements for the town. It is well within the price point that we were looking at. We have a competitive bid through Orange County that is a good competitive bid, and we're getting it at a really, really good price. And I'm not trying to sell, I'm just saying that's the reality. If you are more comfortable waiting and going through a process, I am not opposed to that. I am not opposed to that. That is always an option, and it's your option to do that. Our recommendation is to proceed with this now, put the vehicle in service as soon as we can, as soon as it's practicable, and go from there. So this is some of the pictures of the actual vehicle. That's what it is. Typical standard old Quint.
It looks nice. We have a black screen again.
And this is the one thing I wanted to put out there. I can't tell you how many times I have heard this rumor that we're going to buy a fire truck that doesn't fit in the fire station. And I get it. I know of places that have done that. I know that. New Smyrna did that 20 years ago. I was here. I remember. We knew it would fit, but I want the public to know this truck is identical in size to the vehicle that we're purchasing or recommending purchase. It will fit the fire station. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dan. So, Gary, do you have any questions?
Well, no, I asked him to explain it, and I think he's gone beyond explaining it and what was needed. And yes, I've been monitoring this since the beginning, and I think we need it. I own a two-story house. I would like to have it if I needed it, so I have no problem with it.
Thank you, Gary. We'll go down. Joe, do you have any questions?
No, I've read through everything that the chief has supplied to us over the last year or so, and I've had several conversations, very casual ones, and in my opinion, this is a very wise decision for us to pursue. It lends us a lot more flexibility than we currently have, and we do no longer have to rely on help from any other municipalities. We become self-sufficient, and I like that feeling.
Thank you, Joe. Skip?
Yeah. And again, Dan, you answered a lot of the questions, but I'm going to repeat them because this is kind of what I had jotted down before tonight. You know, with Daytona Beach Shores and South Daytona moving away from their ladder trucks, I know you and I had the conversation. Why did they move away from those ladder trucks?
Because they have Daytona and Port Orange right there.
Okay. So that leads me to my concern. Can we control when our ladder truck leaves this town? Can we can say no, it doesn't leave this town?
We can. Yes, we can.
What's the ramifications if we say no with our interlocal agreement?
That's a great question. And when we say no to them, they may say no to us. And we are in much greater need from them.
I'm with you on that, but I'm just making sure that we understand.
Yes. Yes.
My big concern is with those two municipalities moving away from those ladder trucks, we're going to get a lot more use from other municipalities for our new equipment. That's my personal opinion. Do I have stats to back that up? No, I don't.
Sure.
But it's just a thought. You addressed the streets. I know I covered this with Michael last week, but and I drove down some side streets today coming to the meeting, but the turning radius of the vehicle, I know Selfish was an issue years ago, and we had to take one of our fire trucks down there years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, yep.
To make sure we could make the turn.
Yep.
Barbara Davis sitting back there. Will it make the turn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The other concern I have is the canopy. You addressed that, but I went down Inlet Harbor Road coming here, and all the scars and bruises on the canopy, and I looked at the first photo that you had with the ladder on top. So you're saying that our current vehicle compared to the new vehicle is
6 inches okay. lower.
We feel very comfortable that, because two things will happen. We could go through there and start trimming the canopy, which would cause an uproar, or we could go a different path. But so you feel very comfortable that it will go through the canopies of the trees?
It has gone through. Yes, it has.
Okay, the yep. new one.
The truck that we had was right. identical, yes.
Okay, yep. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
The last piece I have, besides one comment, when would this be able to go into service? If we decided to make the decision tonight, when would we be able to receive it and put it into
But we're still making some tweaks. If we're approved for purchase, there's a couple little tweaks, you know, compartment configurations and things like that. Depending on how long it takes to get the financing established, right. I would say probably the first of the year would be a safe
So
bet.
No additional training for our firefighters. And the reason I'm asking the question, because, you know, in the backup to our packet, it stated in there that our firefighter on the Central Services Board had a meeting with you and was concerned about training.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. That's a great question. There is training. The vendor provides training to our staff as part of the purchase, but we also have an arrangement with the land. They have a bunch of new employees that they need to train in their aerial. So we're cooperating with them. They're actually going to come here, bring their instructors here and our instructors, and we're going to do a joint training for our staff all our staff on the SPEES apparatus.
Time-wise, is that, I mean, is it a day training?
It's a few days. It's probably 3 days, I believe.
Okay. I'm just curious about that part of it.
Yep.
And then the last piece, and we'll get to the liquidation of the older vehicle, but with a new vehicle, we should not expect any breakdowns, correct? This is a new vehicle, correct?
This is a new vehicle, yes, sir.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are we talking about just part one or two and three?
We're really going to end up discussing all together, including are you comfortable with the resolution? So you can address what you'd like.
Dan, when did we have the brush fire over by the jetty where we had five trucks and two? If I think back then, there were two ladder trucks that actually appeared also to help us save a major disaster in Ponce Inlet. When was that?
It was a little while ago.
It was before we even got the pumper truck, wasn't it?
No,
we had
it
the
was,
old truck then.
No, I think it was about the time we got this truck.
So it was about 2008, 2009, you're thinking?
I thought it was
earlier than that. I didn't think I was on the planning board then. But I just remember five trucks came, and two of them were ladder trucks, and those ladder trucks really helped save the whole thing. And if you weren't here, you need to find out about it, because it's extremely important on the reason why we finally are getting what we should have gotten when we got the first truck. But that's the first question. Second thing, in public sectors, bidding is entirely different. I think a lot of people don't understand that. As a high school principal...
Bill, can you talk
I'm
a
sorry,
little closer
no,
to the
As a high
mic.
School principal, I had no choice. I had to go with low bid. If it met the spec, you went with it. You had no choice. And I always tell the story of Abe Fischler, the guy that started Nova University. He became a school board member. He left... after one term, would not run. I'm sitting at a baccalaureate service with him. We started talking about it. I said, are you running again? He said, no, I'll never do it again, because the public sector is so different, because you have to go whether you like it or not if it meets the spec. And I thought that was important, because these specs are great. If you sit down and really read them, they really do everything we want. The 10% discount on the bidding is great. My other question is, I noticed you went for the 10-year rental or purchase, whatever it was, with the dollar buyout. I thought that was cute, $1 to finish the bill, rather than the 7. And I noticed that the 7, the difference was over the 10 years we're paying, the 7-year we're paying $55,000 more. Okay. The other thing that I noticed is that the 7 to the 10 is $82,000. Do you feel more comfortable to spread it out for the citizens? Is that the right reason why you picked that one?
Really, it was more of a budgetary number standpoint.
Okay. I had a feeling.
Just to keep that number at a reasonable level. I agree. We looked at the seven-year option as well, and that is attractive because it is less money. But I think that's something that we're going to talk about, unless you want to mention that now, Mike.
That was my biggest question, because the ladder track, I know we need. There's no question about it. I know the bidding process, being in the public sector for 40 years, I understand that part of it. My concern was the 5 and 7, and I figured it was a budgetary problem, a budgetary concern, and I commend the fact that we did that. Even though it's costing more, in the long run, it's actually going to cost less. And I really like the part where they say it's a $1 finish of the lease. So I'm 100% with Gary on it.
Is there something you'd like to address as far as the
No, ma'am.
The proposal?
No.
No. Okay. I have two questions for you, Chief. First, I want to thank you so much for the presentation. I think that you were able to incorporate all the concerns, address the challenges. Do you believe it's in the best interest of the public for the town of Ponce Inlet to purchase this new fire truck under the terms that have been presented to us?
Yes.
And do you also believe it's in the best interest of the public for the town of Ponce Inlet to retain the current fire truck if we purchase the new truck?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, these are, we've discussed...
Mayor, can I circle back to that piece? I did not. And again, I thought we were just going to talk about this truck and then the
next
truck.
No, we are, but I just, because
you,
it was...
Okay, you made that statement. That's why I was wondering if I need to go ahead and make my statement now or wait till we talk about the
potential. Budget. It was more to, I thought we probably will talk about it, the budget. You're more than welcome to talk now. It was just because it was brought up.
Okay. Well,
so whatever you'd like to do,
Skip. I'd like to come back with that. I'm not in favor of retaining the current piece of equipment. When you look at it financially, you know, I know, Dan, we talked about it, and your initial comment to me was, well, the vehicle's only worth $10,000. I did some research online. 2010, 155,000 miles, 1,250 gallon per minute, 750 holding tank, $128,000. There was an 07 I found online, 190,000 miles for $95,000. An 07, a different one, was 249,000, and it didn't have the miles on that one. You know, I guess I understand being concerned, well, what happens if our new truck breaks down? That's the reason I asked the question. It's a brand new truck. Do we have to have that vehicle serviced? Absolutely, just like every other municipality has to have it serviced. The reason that we're going to buy a new truck, and I'm all for the new fire truck, but if you look at the reasoning that we say that we need it is repair, and I have your repair email that you sent to me, and it was since 2020, it was $62,864. So if you do the math, that's $15,000 per year, and then we have 38,000 miles on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So that's 2,000 miles a year. So if we take that vehicle and we park it, we use it when we need it, but it sits there. I used to have a real nice little sports car, and my sports car, I drove it less than 1,000 miles per year. And I was told by my maintenance gentleman that I had it maintenanced every year. He said, drive it or sell it. You're killing that car. Mm-hmm. So that's my big concern. And also, can we afford it? We're buying a new vehicle because of maintenance and the maintenance concern, which means we're going to be putting more money in this used vehicle to keep it and let it set. I'm not comfortable with that. Thank you.
And I think those are valid concerns, and your point is well taken. And I know you can go online. I think Fenton Fire, Brinley Mountain, and if you notice, those prices are asking prices. They're all asking prices, obviously.
I'll write you a check for $10,000 right now, Dan.
No. I appreciate that. And we are waiting for some more information on pricing. We have inquiries out there. We just don't have that information yet, but that's a valid point. What we're proposing to do with this truck is a standard rotation schedule for any fire truck. Most every department in the nation does this, runs front lines to reserves. And because it's not going to get run as frequently, there's going to be less maintenance, and it's not going to be housed here. It's going to be housed on the mainland, away from the ocean, which will help it a lot. You're right. It needs to be used. It needs to be run, and it will be. It will be used. It
by
will
whom?
Be run. By us.
Okay.
By us.
Well, other municipalities have the opportunity to use it, too. And I don't think our town can continue to fund outside fire departments as much as we have been. And I don't want to go there right now.
No, and I appreciate your point. And as we have benefited from their generosity in letting us use their truck, it's a reciprocal agreement. I don't disagree with your point. But I'm delivering a service. I need to make sure I have the tools and capabilities to do that. And what I'm telling you is this will allow us to do that. If you want a delay, if you want a disruption, and I'm just saying this, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, it is what it is, we will do that. And if you want to liquidate the truck, we could absolutely do that, and we'll make do with what we can make do with.
And just one more question. And again, Dan, and this is not personal at all, but we've had one fire truck for how long?
Since 2008.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, that's it.
And as I said earlier, we've been very lucky to have neighbors that have supported us with reserves. That's not the case anymore.
But with the interlocal agreement, as you said earlier, you could say no, but if you say no about letting us utilize our equipment into their municipalities, that would be causing a problem for them too also, correct? So we still have service. If our fire truck went down today,
yes,
would we have service?
We would.
Okay.
We would.
Wouldn't we, though? I know you. I know the answer to this question before I ask it. If we decide to keep the truck and you see what's happening, what's the first thing you would do then at that point? Surplus it, correct?
Okay. Sure.
So I think I understand where you're coming from, but I think you need to find out. See the cost. Yeah, see everything that goes.
And I have asked for that.
Like with your sports car?
Seriously, I mean, and this is a conversation that Michael and I've had. This is a conversation Dan and I've had over the past 2 to 3 months. And again, I've made my statement, so I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. And Chief, as part of the whole conversation, we do need to look at if we were to move ahead with the purchase of this vehicle under 8C2, there is a proposal there for the financing. Would you like to address that?
Actually, Mike and I discussed this a little bit this afternoon, and in light of recent events with interest rates and not really knowing exactly how that's going to affect this particular arrangement, we think it might be a good idea to pause on this particular financing agreement and actually rebid the proposal and see if we can actually get more competitive rates in terms.
And does anyone have any questions on that?
I think that's a wonderful idea.
It's an
excellent
idea.
I did not think about that, but yeah.
Yeah, excellent idea. Yes, Joe.
My question is a kind of a what-if question with regards to having both pumpers. In the event we have an EV vehicle burnout, which everything that you read about says it requires roughly 40,000 gallons to put the fire out. Is the benefit doubled for us with the two pumpers to put that out?
No, because it wouldn't be here. We'd be housing it someplace else. We would just have another department come in and supplement us.
Okay.
And before we go to the public, then, do you have any questions on the resolution itself to discuss? No?
I'm good. Okay,
what I would, let's see. So we're going to have members of the public speak. You have 5 minutes, and we're going to be discussing the purchase and the resolution at this point, not so much the leasing arrangement. And under our rules, you are able to come up one time to address the council. However, if any comment is made by the council member, by any council member after public comment is closed, I will open public comment back up solely to address what was said by that council member, should someone wish to ask a question relating to that comment. What I would ask is, would you be kind enough to place on the screen? This is an email from a resident, Joe Jackerson, which is to be made as part of public comment. So our first public comment I would like to acknowledge, it's via an email I received from Joseph Jackerson, who resides at 4757 South Atlantic Avenue. He writes, Mayor Peritsky, my name is Joseph Jackerson. I'm a resident of Ponce Inlet and a retired firefighter with 27 years of service. I served with the Prince George's County, Maryland Fire Department, the United States Air Force FD, and the City of Orlando FD. I've been the driver operator on pumpers, hook and ladders, aircraft crash rescue, and quince. I believe I know the importance of having the correct fire apparatus for a given situation. The Quint fire truck is a smart decision for the town of Ponce Inlet. The Quint can perform the same duties as a pumper. It has a water tank, fire pump, hose, and ground ladders. The Quint also has aerial capabilities that can be used in high-angle rescues, such as construction crews with a suspended scaffolding failure or a window washer in trouble. The Quint aerial is excellent in firefighting with its elevated fire streams, providing water in a surround and drown scenario, or providing exposure protection to nearby structures. Based on my hands-on experience, purchasing a Quint is an excellent choice for Ponce Inlet. Joseph Jackerson. So that is our first public comment, and now I will call for members from the audience. Yes, Ryan, please come on up here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ryan McConaughey, 66 Seawind Circle. I'm also up here as a member of the Essential Services Advisory Board. I currently get to represent the fire rescue seat position on the Essential Services Board, which also has PD, Public Works, Human Resources, and a finance member. All of these people that are on this board take this information. Chief Scales came and we grill them from every side of things. Me from the fire rescue perspective, others from finance and HR type situations and needs, and we get everybody from different backgrounds that give us a very good understanding of where everybody might be coming from with ideas or questions or concerns about how that apparatus would be used or purchased. So a lot of the things that we went over were a lot of the things that he addressed already in this was the age of the vehicle. As he stated, the 10 to 15 years is a standard thing. I come from 26 years at the City of Orlando Fire Department. Several of those years I spent in the logistics division doing vehicle purchases, vehicle build outs, everything from ambulances, battalion district type vehicles, all the way to heavy rescues, aerials, ladder trucks, things like that. With that, Chief Scales had mentioned about the increase in prices. And that's always been a big concern for us, especially with the EPA requirements that have come out. Before 2010 or so, our aerial ladder trucks, we were buying the 100-foot aerials, and they were only costing us about $700,000. Since those EPA, from 2010 to 2016 was our first $1 million aerial that we purchased at the City of Orlando. And I was part of that build, and it was all due to EPA requirement and changes. So we dramatically increased that. Well, in a couple years, we're getting ready to get hit with another EPA requirement for diesel apparatus, and it's going to be a very expensive jump again for those vehicles. So doing this purchase now is going to be tremendously helpful going forward in the cost. I won't hit too many of the things that Chief Scales already hit on. Operational wise, it is going to provide us with so many more operational things as Mr. Jackson proposed high angle rescue. The vehicle will have a Stokes basket so it can do elevated rescues. You have a worker that's injured on a roof, you can put them in a Stokes basket and safely lower them to the ground on top of the other operations that that vehicle's capable of doing. Reserve apparatus. NFPA recommends doing one reserve apparatus for every three frontline apparatus that you have. Our apparatus, our frontline apparatus, go down every year for routine maintenance. Sometimes that might be for a week to do all the because the pump needs servicing, testing annually. The aerial will need servicing and pumping testing annually. And as these things go down, there'll need to be time that that vehicle is down for maintenance, whether it's brakes, airlines, hose lines, hydraulic systems. Those kinds of things all need to be tested and run through. So there's already a set number of days that that vehicle will be down. City of Orlando, our apparatus will run a whole lot more, and our average brand new vehicles were out of service annually a year for a month. Not all at once, but throughout the year for different maintenance. I understand this vehicle won't be run as often, so it won't need it as often, but there will be downtime. I do agree with the other thing of having the reserve apparatus when we have disaster, hurricanes, those kinds of things. We can now implement putting in a second frontline apparatus. And if other units are not able to get here to help because of downed trees or whatever, we will have two units already in place. Along with, we have a reserve rescue that we can put in service also. The purchase process is pretty normal. I know there were some concerns with the purchase process. The initial purchase process was going along as if they were going to do the regular build out and everything. And these apparatus do come up available sometimes for last minute that nobody knew they were going to be available.
So, thank you very, very much. Thank you. Is there any other member? Tony.
Tony Hines, 4621 South Atlantic, Unit 7703. Two questions. 75-foot ladder reached the seventh floor of a DiMucci tower?
No.
Oh, okay.
Close.
Well, just wanted to know. Well, then that kind of answers the other one, too. Okay.
Thank you, Tony. Mr. Corney?
John Carney, 86 Raines Court. So I just have a couple of questions. The first one is, I mean, this is coming off of a municipal purchase, so I'm curious as to how it became available in May when the fiscal year for everybody, I assume, started last October. And so somebody must have made a decision in October either to buy this or not buy it. Most people's fiscal year didn't start in May where they figured out, hey, it's not in the budget this year. So I find that to be curious timing-wise.
And
a few other questions. One on the piggybacking. So piggybacking is allowed in your purchasing code, but it requires you all to explicitly approve it. So is there going to be a roll call vote on that? And have you all read the contract? You're comfortable with it? And you're ready to approve the piggybacking? Or is that going to happen later? Are you going to have time to research that? Or how is that going to happen?
Mike, would you like to address that?
That's part of this agenda item. So there are three parts to it. Whether to purchase, it's kind of the threshold question, should we get this truck or not? The second question is to approve the bid for financing. And then the third is to approve the financing agreement. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the decision.
That's part of which one? I didn't hear that in any of those three myself. Which one in there do you have to approve of the piggybacking? I didn't hear that in any of those.
Which item? Well, first of all, we are withdrawing the actual the financing part. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, and that's not part of the piggybacking.
Right.
The other one that would be part of the first.
It's part of item one.
Correct.
So when the motion is made in item one, and there's a roll call vote, we can do a roll call vote. We don't have to, but we can. That is where it's incorporated in that.
And have any of you read that contract?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's right. It is our obligation, and I do believe that each council member does thoroughly read the packet, reads the contract. We recognize that we have an attorney who will let us know that it's legally sound, but in terms of the substance, are we comfortable with the numbers? That we read, and it's been part of the packet. So when the motion is made for HC1, it encompasses that.
Okay, I understand. And another question related to that. That contract, since you read it, is a sole source for E1 vehicles only. And kind of earlier in this discussion, there was a lot more emphasis on one leg of the stool justification, which was the 15-year-old truck we have now is no longer serviceable. They were having real issues with it. And so I just was curious, but I think Chief Scales has addressed that the truck is still fine. And so that's not, so the E1, we're comfortable with E1. That's not a problem, correct? So then the last question I would really have is that if the fire engines and fire trucks are expected to last 15 years, and the town of Ponce Inlet has got a fire equipment reserve fund, why is it that we're in year 15 year of the life of this truck? We don't really have any money in that reserve fund to buy a truck, and we're now kind of scrambling. Why don't we look ahead? Why isn't there some planning going on so that we're not having to go finance, that we can put a few dollars away each year, and then we have money for a truck when we expect the next one? I mean, if that's 15 years, then we probably need to start paying for this one, and we need to start saving for the next one in a few years. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that we're in year 15 and that's the last year we think that it's a viable product for the town to use, and then we're trying to say, how are we going to pay for this? That doesn't make any sense. We've got to fund somebody at some point in this town's history, put this fund in place, presumably to save for fire trucks in the future, so that we're not having to pay financing fees.
I'm sorry.
I mean, $1.5 million truck, if you have money in the bank making 5% interest every month, maybe in 3 years, you're actually ahead than you are buying a $1.2 million truck. You know, we're not in that position, so it's not really super relevant right now, but I'd like to see some future planning going on so that we're not in this kind of a position. And Fire Chief probably would like to see that. I mean, it's not where we want to be as a town, I don't think. We want to be able to have processes in place. We want to follow those processes. We want to get good results from those processes, not because, hey, we got lucky because this fire truck dropped in our lap 2 months ago, 3 months ago, right?
There is a, if you'd like to address the capital fund.
Sure. Yeah, that, I can tell you that fund did not exist 15 years ago. So that's a more recent creation. I can also tell you 15 years ago, the town was in the middle of a lawsuit. So a big one. And a lot of the money, from what I've seen, was prioritized toward that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak? Mrs. Carney, yes.
Bonnie Carney, 86 Rains Court. I have first a question, which is, how old is this truck actually going to be when we acquire it? How long has it been sitting there?
Do we have the answer to that?
Okay, so it is a brand new truck. And what service or whatever will have to be done immediately when we get it? Anything? Okay, thank you. I also wanted to say that, Mr. Milano, you made a comment about the cheapest bid. And you made comment about how you have to go with the lowest bid. And yet there was a presentation this morning, earlier, of how there's something called a best value practice. And yes, it was already acknowledged that Ponce Inlet does this lowest bid, but that can be changed to best value. And in fact, the gentleman who made that suggestion is, what do you know, a retired government employee.
When I was in education, I've been out for the last 20 years.
And he also said that it can be changed and done that way, and it can be done for governments too. So,
as I said, when I was an educator as a high school principal and then worked in the county office,
yes,
we had to go, if it met the specs, we had to accept that bid. We had no choice.
And that was acknowledged.
It had to be the low bid.
And that was acknowledged.
Now, that may have changed since I've been out of the system, but that's the way it was then.
That was acknowledged that that's the way it is here now. The suggestion was made to change that.
It's not a county, it's a state law, ma'am.
Well, okay.
That's actually in the state educational legislative packet that is what we have to do.
Okay. The education.
It's not that we can change it. If the state changes it,
the education department, no. And I just wanted to say also that that the citizens here had some genuine questions about a major purchase here. And it's our understanding that Chief Scales was very instrumental in these vehicle leases that are costing us an enormous amount of money. So we also had some questions about the validity of this purchase and how it was being done, and that it was, in fact, switched from a, hey, let's save and buy, to buy it now. And I think it was insulting that you had him come up here and sing all his accolades and put on what was clearly a transparent show, because citizens had some real concerns. I noticed you didn't go into his entire history here, but we won't go there. I just wanted that on the record, that the way you addressed the citizens' concerns was not to say, here's our competent fire chief, but to have him come up here and go on for 15 minutes about all his accolades, because we had some concerns. And then you throw up an email from a retired firefighter. Well, you know, give me a day, I'll come up with one that says the opposite. What needs to be done is the questions needed to be answered, and they should have been done so respectfully. And that's what I've got written down for that. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Carney. Is there anyone? Yes, Mr. Fields.
Steve Field, 6 Marshall. I know you said you're going to defer the discussion on the loan, but I really think we need to look at both the 7-year option and the 10-year option and do an NPV on that, because maybe it's more beneficial to go with the 7-year option.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fields. Yes, Ms. DiCarlo.
Judy DiCarlo, 32 Caribbean. As a resident of Ponce Inlet and a 20-year resident, I have to thank all of you who go out of your way every day to help us citizens. I hear the confrontational manner of some of our residents tonight. And as a resident here, I'd like to apologize, because I'm very thankful that Dan Scales is our fire chief, Jeff Glazier is our police chief, and every one of you are sitting on this board. And thankful that Mike Disher is our town manager, and all of the people who support him. So, thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Barbara Davis, 48... Can you hear me?
No.
4871 Sailfish Drive, 35-year resident. I think this looks real simple. Okay, we're getting a good deal. We need the truck. As a resident here, fires do happen. The big fire at the park happened about 1987-88, because we were looking for property down here, and it was all scorched. We have had fires here. The big one on Atlantic, we can't pretend like it's not going to happen here. It happens. We definitely need this. We have essential services, who are the people who are selected because of their expertise, Chief Scales, and the timing is perfect, because ours is ready to go out of service. Whether we keep it in reserves, I think it depends on how much we would get for it. I mean, if we're going to get $10,000 for that truck, I mean, let's keep it. And then we've got it for backup. Like he says, if it goes out of service, then we've got it. But we can't depend on other entities all the time. If it hits the fan, I mean, we got to be prepared.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to comment? Mr. White?
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oaks. To Skip's point, the fact that there are carrying costs, you know, with this reserve truck, if we put it in reserve, there's carrying costs. I'm sure that these other municipalities are not going to allow us to store it for free, Are they? I mean, is there cost associated to that? There's no cost. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that, because usually when you park somewhere, these storage units are going up everywhere, you know, and it costs to store anything these days. The other thing is, on these condos, do all of them have sprinkler systems? No. Okay. Is that, I mean, how many of them are exposed? How many of the condos do you think are exposed? Without sprinkler systems?
I think, off the top of my head, I think there's three or four that don't have sprinklers.
Is that because of the age?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any responsibilities or, I mean, I know that laws change and things change, requirements, as we looked at the EPA requirements as we move forward, are, you know, drastically impacting the cost of vehicles and everything else. Are we not going back and requiring some of these older facilities to put sprinkler systems in to help alleviate the threat of some of this?
You legally can't.
You cannot?
You cannot.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bullard.
Robert Bullard, 4802 South Peninsula Drive, 40 plus years. I'd like to initiate my comments somewhat addressing what Bill Milano had to say. When Buzz Aldrin was asked what was his greatest concern about going to the moon, he said, flying in a vehicle made by the lowest bidder. And if it were a low bid situation for everything I did, I wouldn't be here today. So there we are. Mothballing large capital moving stock is a very difficult thing to sort out financially and in terms of operations of the entity that is mothballing the moving stock. In the case of a fire truck, I'm going to take a wild guess on this, and that is, all things considered, you don't mothball a fire truck. You use it or you lose it. And putting it in storage some faraway place is just letting money sit there. You've got to keep your operational crew engaged in every piece of equipment you have. If you think it's going to be usable, it's going to be usable continuously. So my point of view is either keep it and use it and have people trained to use it all the time, because you're not going to have a special crew for that. When the time comes you want to bring it back in, it's going to be your regular crew. So figure out some way to keep it around here, keep using it. Using the large new piece of equipment is going to be a big ticket item every time you turn it on. Maybe the older equipment's not going to cost as much if you intermittently use that. You know, it's sitting there, it gets used, and it's available. Either sell it or keep it and use it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bullard, because you bring up a great point. And I guess I didn't include that as part of the presentation. What we do now with our current reserve ambulance, about once a month, we have the crew swap into it. We run out of that for a few days to run it and to make sure they know where everything is. We'll do the same basic thing with the engine. I mean, it will get run periodically, not as often probably as we would like to, but I mean, that's a good point. That's typically what we would do normally.
Thank you, Chief.
Mayor, can we address that or just wait until it's our time again?
If you wish to ask him a question.
Yeah, while he's up here, kind of my point. Well, and I agree, use it or lose it.
Yes.
We don't have a place to put it in Pond Sandlet, number one. Number two, there will be maintenance on that truck.
Yes.
Number three, we'll carry insurance on that truck.
Yes.
Is that budgeted in this year's budget?
Yes.
No. So, wait, so we have two fire trucks budgeted for the maintenance for the new one and the maintenance for the old one. It's in this budget?
The maintenance that we're going to save on the one that we're getting rid of?
No. And the one that we're going to get rid of. If we kept that truck right now, is there money in the budget right now? I'm talking about budget 24-25.
Yes.
So you've built money in there. So if we get rid of it, we can take that money out, correct, Michael? You can tell me that money's...
You can take some of it, yes. We budgeted the same amount of maintenance money this year for next year as we did this year, anticipating keeping that vehicle.
And getting the new one.
That was not...
Okay, I got you. I understand now.
Yeah.
So our insurance cost is in there, our maintenance cost is in there. And again, the last piece I'll make a comment about on this is that if we do put it where you were talking about locating it somewhere,
Port Orange and New Smyrna have offered facilities.
Okay, so Port Orange and New Smyrna, that vehicle will be, the keys will be in the car.
Mm-hmm.
They can use it as they need it.
Well, they have to ask us for permission.
Okay, are you going to tell them no? No. So, okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Chief. Now, is there anybody else who wishes to speak? Oh, Mr. Cox, thank you.
Good evening. Ken Cox, 4757 South Atlantic Avenue. Probably the majority of my comments tonight are tailored towards those in attendance, as most of you all know and are familiar with the Essential Services Advisory Board. I speak to you tonight not only as a full-time citizen of Ponce Inlet, but I also chair the Essential Services Advisory Board. Mr. McConaughey gave you an example of told you about the five disciplines that we are made of. I represent law enforcement on the board. Little background of my history and experience. I retired after a 30-year career in law enforcement as a chief deputy, number three in command of an agency about 2,500 personnel. Our budget was somewhere in the area of about $180 million. So I have pretty good extensive experience in budgeting and budget requests, proposals, approvals, and management. Regarding the Essential Services Advisory Board, each of us are sworn in as a board to review a variety of important matters related to the operations of the city, and we also review all capital expenditures of $50,000 or more. Our March meeting is typically our budget workshop, which I believe is probably towards the beginning of the budget phase here for the city. At that time, the managers come in and they present their requests for these expenditures over $50,000. It's incumbent upon our board to review each request to make recommendations to the City Council for inclusion or to not to be included in their future budget. So when we approached our meeting, we received a laundry list of request expenditures that each of the different divisions of the city were requesting. The one that probably stood out the most was the fire truck, the apparatus. So, Chief Scales, I can tell you in my capacity as the chairman of this board for the last, I believe, 4 years, I've had a lot of occasions to meet with Chief Scales. As you can see, he's very thorough. But what you may not know is he's very loyal, he's very committed, he's very intelligent. He doesn't take anything personal, I can tell you firsthand. I know there's been occasions where he's made presentations to our board and backed off of issues when he realized that the priority might be in a different direction. So nothing that he does is personal. But this apparatus stood out to me as well, and I had the same concerns that a lot of the citizens have made tonight. So I made an appointment, asked me if he'd meet with me, which he did, and I met with he and Deputy Chief Lauderville. And we discussed this apparatus for about an hour. And at the conclusion of this meeting, I was pretty confident the direction I wanted to go. But we still had a board meeting. I still wanted to hear what my board members had to say. So we moved forward. Mr. Disher, I could use all the same to describe him. He's very operational, very informative, very available, very loyal, very committed. And what Mr. Disher did was something very unique. I believe this is your second budget preparation, and what he's done for us to help make my job and our board members' job easier is he takes this laundry list of requests, he meets with all his managers, Chief Scales, Chief Glazier as well, and they as a group get together and they prioritize what they believe is important, and then they present this to our board, which I think is very, very unique and very, very smart and helps us a great deal. So at the beginning of our meeting, I encouraged all our board members to ask a lot of questions, ask a lot of difficult questions, quite frankly, because this was a great experience for Chief Scales and Mr. Disher and the other managers, because these are the same type of questions they're going to be getting from all of you. And so our board was very, there was a lot of dialogue. There were very, very, very good questions asked, a lot of discussion. So with our public safety being our utmost importance, the fire apparatus was one of our highest priority capital expenses that we unanimously agreed upon to present to the council with our recommendation to move forward with it. So basically, I stand in front of you today in support of purchasing this equipment and let you know that the five of us plus two alternate members, all seven of us, were unanimous. We believe that this is a good purchase moving forward as representatives of citizens of Ponsonlet.
Thank you so much, Mr. Cox. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak? Yes, Ms. Harvey.
Kathy Harvey, 41 Loggerhead. I just want to say, 2 weeks ago on Nextdoor, I posted a takeaway from the last meeting. And I want to say what a pleasure it is tonight to listen to the feedback from the residents and what a difference in a demeanor and an approach. Really well done for the majority. Now, I do want to make a comment. I really get a lot of information. The gentleman that presented from the Essential Service Board, that was outstanding. That is such a support. I mean, this is good stuff. And they really brought it home. I have no problem with the way that you asked Chief Scales to go through his bio, his CV. It is a form of vetting. It is a form of validation. It reassures the citizens in this county or in this town that this man knows what he's doing. To suggest otherwise is rude, and I thought it was uncalled for. And it just keeps going like this. I don't know why we can't make a point without diminishing someone's accomplishments and their service. It really doesn't have a place in here, and it diminishes what that person is saying. So I'm just saying, thank you. Thank you to all.
Thank you. Now, is there anyone else who wishes to speak? If anyone wishes, I will close public comment, except one of our council members did ask a few questions, so if anyone has something to say based upon what Councilman White said, I don't, probably not. Okay. Oh, what?
Uh-oh.
What?
I said, uh-oh.
No. It has to be a comment directed to what you said.
I think Skip talked about what we could get for the fire truck.
Yes.
My suggestion would be we put it out for and see what we could get for it. And if it's, and then decide what you're going to do with it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I think...
Let me comment, because you don't do that in the public to see what it's worth, and then if you don't get enough, say, we're not selling it. That's a process I would stay away from. That is not appropriate.
Go ahead.
Well, I understand this is a public process, but in the private sector, we do that all the time.
Thank you, Mr. Field.
On the reserve apparatus.
Yes, of course.
I believe that Chief Scales said that there is a reserve apparatus that we're going to be getting rid of that is the mini pumper or brush wildland truck that we have. So that will be gone. The maintenance for that will kind of cover the maintenance on the primary engine right now that will be going to reserve. And I completely agree with you on the, you're going to have to run the apparatus. You're going to have to train on it. Those things are going to be done. And that way our crews, as they come in, because our frontline Quint and our reserve engine apparatus will be so different the crews will have to train on those continuously to maintain proficiency with it. So that will be something that will need to be done, and it will be run, used, and taken care of.
Thank you. Thank you again. Now, public participation is closed, and I do have a question to council before we entertain any motion. I want to make sure each of you have had the opportunity